Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. We are indeed in Palm Sunday, so I want to say thank you to Reggie for getting the palm fronds. If you didn't get one, please take one. If you got one, take another one. There's a few extra. Parents, give them to the kids. I know that's the heart behind of the message there. It's just a tradition we've done for a number of years now, and so it's just a good reminder. It's one of those staples in the church calendar, if you will. I look forward to. So last week we kicked off our series that we're calling Jesus Every Day. He isn't just a Sunday thing. And so this idea that Jesus, and we know this, right? We know that he came for more than just Sunday morning. But sometimes if we examined our life, if we look at that thoroughly, we might wonder, is he really more to us than just a Sunday thing? And I believe he is, but sometimes we just get busy. And last week we looked at an account that challenged the assumptions of two disciples talking to Jesus, and Jesus had just told them, listen, I'm for the third time, by the way, this is going to happen. I'm going to be handed over. We're going to the city. They're going to take me. They're going to beat me. They're going to kill me. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again. And James and John decided that was the time to ask for sitting on the right and the left hand. And so they had assumptions about Jesus, and Dale alluded to it a little bit ago, this idea that the people, even on Palm Sunday, they had expectations, didn't they? And so this week we're going to continue this journey, and we're going to look at that account in Matthew 21 that's in the Gospels about that Palm Sunday morning, what happened. And we're going to look at that and see what it's like when life's not as we expect. You know, the question that I'm going to look at today is, what do we do when God's plan looks different than what we imagined? You know, as I was thinking about this, I was wondering, like, I could pull from the archives of stories of my life when things happened that I didn't expect. And I texted Heather about this, and she goes, oh, where do we start? And there's a long list, some of which we would gladly share, others which we probably wouldn't. But there was a series of things in life. And one story that just came back to me was, it was like it was yesterday. And it's because it was around this time so many years ago. I was a freshman in college. It was in the spring semester. And I had aid, like, to pay for my schooling, like so many others. And part of my aid, about 25% of my aid, was according to my grades. Now, I didn't know whether I deserved it. If you had met me in high school, my GPA was barely a 3.0. I think they just gave it to me and felt sorry for me. But I had aid that was based on academics. And as you know, if you've had kids recently, that you have to maintain a certain GPA. Well, needless to say, I was trying to be an engineer because I thought that's what God wanted me to do. I love math, didn't like people. So I know, just wait, the story gets better. And I just thought doing that kind of work would be right up my alley. Well, I learned really quickly after two semesters of organic chemistry and something called differential equations that while I was good at math, I wasn't cut out to be an engineer. So anyways, in this April time frame, I was realizing that first semester didn't go quite as well as I wanted. I had slightly below a 3.0. It wasn't horrible. I think I had one C, mostly B, all Bs, and didn't have any A's. So I was banking on that A to even things out. Well, anyways, I realized partway through my second semester that I wasn't going to get there. I wasn't going to get that A, that extra A that I needed to balance everything out. And so I realized that I was going to lose my aid. Quarter of the payment of the money, and I realized I couldn't afford any more loans. My parents are already helping me out. There wasn't really anything I could do. And so I remember talking to my mom about it and my dad both, and they kind of said, well, go talk to financial aid. As my dad always says, you never know what you can get until you ask, right? Ask the question. And so I go in there and I lay down my story, and I realize quickly how emotional this is for me because I started to cry, and I was really like, I didn't want to leave. I really loved it there, but I realized, I said, is there anything you can do? And the financial aid counselor says, no, I'm really sorry. you know, this is, I don't think there's anything we can do. You know, maybe we can give you some additional work next semester to help pay that. And I was just like, man, this is a lot of money. So anyways, I walk back slowly to my dorm. And I'm down and out. I just thought, this is it. I'm going home. And not that I was disappointed about going home, but I really loved where I was at. And Geneva was, I felt like, the place for me. Well, before I could get back to my dorm, I walk in, I throw myself on the bed, and I look over and I see this blinking thing. Now, for all of you young folks, this is called an answer machine. And this is blinking when there was a notification. You know how the notifications you get on your phone now that tell you you've missed a message and stuff? This was the 1990s version of that. It's blinking, which means I had a message. So I walk over, I listen to the message, and the person on the other phone was the counselor I had just met with. And she proceeded to tell me and said, Gary, I'm really sorry. We can't give you the full scholarship, but... And there was that word, but here's what we can do. She went on to tell me that they would transfer half of my scholarship from academic to needs-based, which would mean it wouldn't go away. And it turns out that that was exactly what I needed to carry on at Geneva. Now, let me tell you, I was 18, 19 years old. I just wanted to have fun. I liked it at Geneva. Little did I know who I was going to meet in a couple of months. See, in the midst of what was going on, I was expecting and hoping for help. But even when they told me they were going to help, I still didn't fully expect what was going to happen, because a couple of months later, a stunning young lady with a red sweater on walked into my open area of the dorm and changed my life forever. See, so many times when we approach life, even when we think we know what's going on, life doesn't oftentimes go as we expect. And so that's the question we're going to look at today, is what do we do when God's plans look different than what we imagined? But before I go any further and jump in, let me pray for our time. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this day. God, I pray that as we examine your scripture, your word, that it would speak truth to us. God, let our hearts be open, our eyes and ears be open to what you have for us, God, and let any stumbling blocks be removed. And let the words that I speak not be mine, but yours. And let them pierce our soul and call us to a closer relationship with you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the title of today's message is When Life's Not What We Expect. And the passage we're going to spend most of our time on today is in Matthew chapter 21. We'll be looking at these 11 verses at the beginning of the chapter. We're going to kind of break it up into chunks. And here's kind of where we're going. So if you're following along, there's blanks there. If you're one of those that likes to fill in the blanks, here they are. Now, this isn't the license to stop listening. This is just helping you know where you're going. The first thing we're going to see is that the expected king. The expected king. What did this mean? What were the people expecting? Second, when reality surprises, we see quickly that yes, there was a king and they were expecting it, but there was a reality that was just a tad bit different. And finally, how are we to find hope in this unexpected time? And so let's jump in and look at the first five verses here. So starting in verse 1, Matthew chapter 21, it says this: As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so as we look at this, we see that this is the long-expected king. You know, Jesus... His coming had been prophesied for hundreds of years. They had given so many details. God had given so many details through the prophets over the years. We could just we could just get lost in those details, but what's important to understand is that this was the long-expected king. The issue here, though, was really that the people's hope and what they were expecting was just a little bit different than what God was about to deliver through Jesus. Understand that as this Passover time, this atmosphere that would have been just electric, there's so many people coming during this time for this Passover feast, the celebration, there undoubtedly would have been expectations. In fact, you know, we understand by the climate of the day that the Jews were really looking for a savior, yes, but they were looking perhaps for a king, a conquering king, a political freedom that they couldn't possibly experience otherwise. And it just makes me realize that in our lives, sometimes we are just like that. You know, we expect and we hope that God's going to work in our life. And we, I don't know if you get this way, but sometimes I think if I just had X, you know, I did this a lot growing up, and I hope I've eradicated most of it out of my system, but I spent most of my early career thinking about what was to come next. What would happen if I would just get this next job? If I would just get this, you know, I started in private education, and so as we started thinking about having kids, we realized quickly that, you know, I was going to probably need to go to public education, and I ended up applying for a job at Marlington. And I've told you this story before, is most of the time it was just to appease my mom so she would quit asking me if I applied for that job yet, because I didn't think that that was where God wanted me to go. And lo and behold, he led me there. And then I thought, well, man, if I just get this job, or if I just get this amount of money, or if I just hit this salary, or if I just get this car, or if I just get. Sometimes we spend so much time looking ahead and almost coming up with this expectation in our brain that we don't spend a lot of time asking the King of Kings what his expectations are for our life. These people would have had expectations. Without a doubt. They were expecting a conquering king, someone to set them free from this political mess that they were in. And Jesus was coming, and he was that expected king, but he didn't necessarily align up with their hopes. You see, because the second part of these verses go on to tell us that God had already said, God's plan had been revealed. You know, Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, was going to be coming as a man on a donkey, riding in to a city much different than what the people's expectations were. In fact, if you, this verse from verse 4, verse 5 is a direct quote there from Zechariah chapter 9. If you look that up in verses 9 and 10, it talks in a little bit more in depth about this, but the prophet had laid out exactly what was going to happen. And so that's what's so fascinating in verse 4, where Matthew's recording this and said, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. See, sometimes our issue is not that God hasn't laid out expectations. It's that we want something else. We want something different, or we want that plus. You know, okay, God, all right, I got you. I'm going to give to the church, but you know, then because I do that, then bless me. Or I'm going to serve in this capacity, but Lord, then use this for whatever else. And so sometimes our expectations are just a little different than what God has for us. You know, the longer I live, the more I realize and recognize that God's economy in life is very different than this guy's economy. You know, I have to pray and say, God, not what I want, but what you want. Show me, and I have to say this over and over and over again, because it doesn't matter if I've been following Jesus since I've been 7, been 40 years. Holy smokes, that's a long time. Been married for 25 years. We have 6 kids that are slowly growing up and going out. It doesn't matter how long I've been a pastor, I've followed Jesus. I have to stop, because this sin desire kind of always wants to fester up there, and we need to surrender that to the Holy Spirit and say, God, change this. You know, so many times God is playing checker or chess while I'm playing checkers. Have you heard that phrase before? This idea that, how many of you are good at checkers? Some of my kids, we play all the time and I get beat. But checkers is a pretty straightforward game, right? Until there's kings involved, and then it gets all kind of crazy. But you can only go one direction. You can only move one thing. And so that fits well in this brain. Chess? Ooh, I understand where the pieces go, but I'm lucky if I see the move I'm doing, let alone two or three moves ahead. So many times in life, God is at work bringing about his expectations and what he's doing, and we just are not seeing it because we're stuck thinking, what do we expect? Well, as we continue on in these verses, we're going to look at verses 6 through 9 here. We're going to look at this idea of, even though there's an expectation on our end, what happens when reality surprises us? See, in verse 6, it says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Verse 9, the crowds then went ahead of him, and those followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Let me just stop there. The expected king had come, but not as they were expecting. See, they would have been looking probably for a king riding a big white horse, a big white thoroughbred that was going to lead the charge. They would be looking for a king that would have had people with weapons and armor and stuff around them to do this conquering. And they might have even been looking for a king that came with this idea of bringing, I'm going to bring you freedom. I'm going to set you free from this oppression. But how did Jesus come? See, Jesus came riding a donkey. Jesus didn't come with the armored guard around him. Rather, people were throwing palm leaves down on the ground. Jesus didn't come to set them free politically, but he came with love that was going to set them free from their sins if they would just believe in him. See, so many times that's how God works, isn't it? We expect him to work in a certain way, and then reality kind of flips on its edge, and God works in unexpected ways. You know, I mentioned earlier about this unexpected beneficial change in my financial aid at college. I thought I was just getting to go home and then come back in the fall. I had no idea what God was leading me to, that he would lead me to my future wife, which would then lead us to education, that would then lead us to following him and serving him as a pastor. And I know I skipped a few steps in there, but if you look back at my life, it's crazy what God was doing. Yes, I was so excited in that moment to receive the good news that I could come back to Geneva College, but I had no idea what God was doing. And I look back and I say, thank you, God, that I didn't know, because I might not have done some of the things I did along the way if I knew where he was leading me. You know, I'm not saying that I don't like what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing, but there's incredible challenges of living a godly life. It's just hard. It's not easy. This world is fighting against us, and there's so many times that God is working through, you know, good ways, but also challenging ways. Back to that Sunday morning, that Palm Sunday, that first Palm Sunday, the people were praising him, right? We read it. It says that they were singing shouts of praise. They were singing, Hosanna, Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. See, they were praising, but they had kind of still missed the point. They had a wrong understanding of what Jesus was there to do. See, sometimes we can do the right things for the wrong reasons. Sometimes we can do the right things for the wrong reasons, and that's kind of more of a heart issue, and we know that God has the ability to take those things and turn them for good, but we realize that we must always check our expectations at the door. Again, God was in the midst of working here, and he was playing chess when others would have been saying, let's play checkers. He was sending a conquering king who was going to absolutely save them from their oppression, but they didn't realize that he was there to save them from their sin, to make that payment on the cross that they couldn't possibly make. And if they had realized that, it makes you wonder how they would have responded. And I had the opportunity to watch, I don't know if any of you guys have gone out and see The Chosen, the new series right now, that is the fifth season, excuse me. Admittedly, I will say I was a little skeptical. It's just me, I'm a skeptic by nature, but I had the opportunity to watch the first episode of this new season before it was in the theaters. And there was this, they do this depiction of this Palm Sunday and how they interacted there and how they, as you watch the video, it just kind of teleported you in there for a minute to kind of see what it might have been like. And what the most fascinating part about it was is that, you know, they depicted the people on the outside of the wall, right? They were the ones throwing the palms down. They were excited. They were like, praise the Lord, Hosanna. And as they became and went through the city wall and they start to go into the inside, there's a little bit different culture. There's a little bit different, maybe a little bit skeptical, maybe a little bit not sure what's going on. And it made me just wonder, in that moment, if I had been there, would I have reacted like the person on the outside of the wall, or would I reacted like more of a skeptic? Now, I can probably tell you, this pastor would have been a little skeptical because that's how I am. I consider myself a realist. Some people call me a pessimist. But I just always tend to question things. That's just how I'm wired. Thanks, Mom. You know, the Candre questioning. But there's so many times in life that has benefited me as well. But all that to say, God was at work on that day. God was at work when reality surprised the individuals. And by the way, you step forward a few days and see what happened. Those that were laying the branches down and saying, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, they would have been the ones possibly yelling, crucify him. See, God wasn't surprised, though. God wasn't surprised. Even when reality surprises us, here's the amazing truth, that we serve a God that is all-knowing, all-powerful, and is not surprised by what's happening in life. And this can bring us tremendous hope. This can bring us a tremendous understanding that no matter what, if we miss the mark or not, if we're faithfully trying to follow God and we look to Him for the answers, He will provide. See, God is not surprised by the things that happen in this life, whether they surprise us or not. The last thing here is finding hope in the unexpected. As we read verses 10 and 11. It said, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. See, here's what I was talking about. They were questioning, right? It almost seems like as soon as they came into the city, they questioned, who is this? There was some confusion in his identity because they said, yeah, that's Jesus. He's a prophet. This idea that outside the wall they were saying one thing, inside the wall they were saying something different. And it just makes me realize that so many times in our life when God is at work, especially in uncertainty, sometimes we like to do something that helps us try to better understand. And I like to call it putting God in a box. Can anyone relate to that? Sometimes we think that, oh, well, this is happening, so God's going to respond this way. This is what He's going to do. This is what God is going to do. Or we pray and say, God, please work in this way. Please work in this way. And like I said last week, you know, our prayers, we are to pray, try to pray what's on our heart, but we must also recognize this fact that when Jesus is at work, when God is at work, sometimes our hearts can be very deceitful and they can lead us in the wrong direction. One of those ways is that we kind of put Jesus in a box. We kind of expect, okay, Jesus can only work this way. This is the only way. This is how Jesus is going to work. His word says this, therefore He must do this. And I got to believe that on this Palm Sunday that so many of these people were putting Jesus in a box. Some of it was ignorance. Some of it was just plain old they didn't see. You know, when I was at Geneva, another thing that I really enjoyed doing was on Wednesday nights, they had a group called, they called it Hanging In. And my mom would always call me every Wednesday night and go, hey, how was hanging out? That was just our joke between it was hanging in, hanging out, get it. It was supposed to be funny. But anyways, there was this worship time and we would sing. We would sing and there'd be someone who'd give a devotional. And one week, a gentleman who was leading that, who had taken some time off but had come back, he was talking about putting Jesus in a box. See, so many times in our lives, we limit Jesus, don't we? We put him in this little box that we think he fits in. And then when reality surprises us, we're shocked at how big our God is, right? Doesn't that happen to you sometimes? You just, like, you pray for something and you think you're praying for the right thing, and then God just does something so much bigger than that. See, Jesus was more than a prophet. He was more than an ideal political savior. He was the Son of God that was sent there to be the Messiah, but not to save them from the things of this world, rather to save them from the sins in their life. He was so much more than a prophet. You know, sadly, we do the same thing in our lives sometimes. In the moment of surprise, let us look to Jesus to find hope. Let us look to him and say, God, I don't know what's going on here. I mentioned this last week in part of the sermon. I say, when you get to that point, when you go, God, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know. I need you. I think sometimes that's when God goes, all right, now we can work. And sometimes he brings these things in our lives to challenge us, to drive us, and to bring us closer to him. So as we think about this Palm Sunday, and we think about when that expected king came and how their reality was thrown up in the air and they were surprised, and we're called to find a hope in the unexpected. How are we to do that? Because I don't know about you, but when something goes the way I didn't plan, just ask my family how I react. It's not usually pretty. I like to have things ordered and sequential, and that's just the way my linear brain works. And when something happens differently, someone pulling out in front of me in traffic, someone cutting me off at a line to pay for food, someone that comes in, this is the most embarrassing one, you're involved in a ministry and you go there and you think, that person cut me off. And you're thinking, they probably need that ministry just as badly as I do. I don't know what it is in your life, and I don't know what drives you to maybe respond the way you shouldn't, but God is an absolutely ordered God. He absolutely knows what's going to happen. He absolutely has a plan. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, but sometimes he doesn't always fill us in on every step of the way. And I think this is really to draw us closer to him, that we can see how we can find hope in him. So when we're living in those moments of uncertainty and reality surprises us, how are we going to live with the hope that's only found in Jesus? How do we do it? Well, here's a couple ideas I have for you. Two, and then a small sidetrack there. Number one, and by the way, I underlined this about four times and highlighted it in my notes because I need to hear this just as much as anybody else, but embrace God's surprises. Embrace God's surprises. See, in the midst of embracing his surprise, we can do three things. The first thing I'd like to say is we release our expectations. Okay? Stop putting God in a box. Because so many times if we trust our brain to expand on how powerful God is, we are so grossly underestimating it that it's not even funny. God is a God of miracles. He still does miracles today. Maybe the best way we can embrace God's surprises is we can release the expectations. Second, we can trust him. Now I'm starting to meddle a little bit. Trust his wisdom. Trust his word. You know, we spend so much time trying to read and understand and stay up to date on politics today, and this is not a slam on anybody. This is a slam on this guy just as much. But we're inundated with information about how the government's going to save us. Well, I'm here to tell you they're not. Not one bit. There is only one name under heaven that can save, and the name is Jesus. And if we would put that much trust and that much effort and that much time into reading his word and studying and praying, and listen, if I'm sounding mean, it's not mean. I could point right back at myself. I get caught in the same traps as everybody else. We need to release the expectations that we have placed on this God that we love, and we must trust that his ways are higher than our ways. And third, as part of this embracing God's surprises, we can seek daily opportunities. You know, this week, This is so wild. You won't even believe me if you haven't heard me tell you before, but we were sleeping. It was, what day was that? Thursday morning, I think. We're sleeping, and I was woken, and I hear a boom, and then another boom, boom, and I'm just like, oh, that's the trash can. That's the trash service, right? That's what I thought. I thought they were picking the trash up, shaking it again, and then put it down. And I just looked out, and Heather's like, I think somebody, there was an accident. And I look out, and I'm like, oh, it's up the road. Just go back to sleep. And she gets up, and she looks down, and nope, it hit our house. A car drove through the road, drove off the road, drove through our yard. By the way, missed a big tree, missed a telephone pole, missed another tree, and actually didn't even hit our house. It just took out our heat pump, which was a big annoyance and is something we have to deal with. But I could have looked at that situation. Number one, don't wake me up when I'm sleeping. Mm-mm-mm. That's a no-no. My kids know that. They go to the. I think that's why they go to Heather. And we're both sleeping because they know I'll probably like, Grace came the other day and woke me up. And I think I did this jujitsu and I almost punched her and I didn't mean to. But don't wake me up. No, but listen, I could have responded. And then I went outside and there was two young kids. I call them young kids because I'm 47. They were in their late teens. I could have been angry, right? I mean, what in the world would possess you to drive through my yard, hit my heat pump, and more importantly, wake me up? What's going on here? Well, here's the thing. Like, we had just talked as family like this last week about, and God has been really working on me, you know, and I kind of joke about it when I say, when I go to Panera, I really should take an interest in those people's lives, right? God put me there in a reason. Well, that morning, it was the Holy Spirit speaking. It wasn't Gary speaking. So when I went out to talk to these young men, instead of asking them the proverbial parent question, what in the world were you doing? I had compassion. You would be proud of me. I said, are you okay? What happened? And he was just, you know, he was saying some words that I couldn't repeat here, but he's a young man. He was all scared and nervous and worried about his job that he's going to be late for, worried about the car, not sure if they have insurance. And I just had an opportunity in that moment to just tell him, you know, I don't know if you want to hear this or not, but God protected you today. God loved you. And everything that you see here, the debris, my broken heat pump, the car. I said, it's not that they're not important, but that's secondary. God got a hold of you today, and he's trying to wake you up, and maybe you need to listen to him. And that's all I said. And I walked away, and I'm not sure what he said when I left, because I you can kind of tune that out as dad. You don't really want to hear what they were going to say. But it turns out they were okay. They, you know, the insurance is going to cover things. It's just a pain in the butt. It's just one more thing. But in the midst of that, later the day, I looked at the police report that I had gotten. I realized his phone number was on there. And so little does he know that I have his phone number yet at that point. I texted him later in the day, and I just said, I want to make sure you're okay. Is there anything going on? Like, anything I can help you with? And he goes, oh, thank you. God bless. And so then I'm like, all right, you said the word. Now I'm going to go for it. And I said, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And I pray that if you ever need anything, you could text me about it. No, I didn't get a response back to that one. That's not Gary. And I don't tell that to brag. I hope you don't feel that way. That is like so opposite of how I normally react in a situation that is what God is doing. I tell you all that to be careful what you pray for. If you pray to seek opportunities to speak the gospel into people's life and to love on them, God's going to do crazy things like drive teenagers into your yard and hit your heat pump. I'm telling you, that's just how God works. He got their attention, and I pray. We never know. We're told that some water, some plant, but God brings the increase, and my prayer is that somewhere along the line, this kid will find Jesus and accept him as his personal savior. And if it took all of the waking up and the mess with insurance to try to get my heat pump fixed so that his life could be saved, totally worth it. Release expectations. Trust in the greater wisdom of God. Seek him daily. Finally, as we're embracing God's surprises, let's find joy in his way. You know, salvation is something that we talk about. We want to know Jesus so that we can be saved. We can have salvation. And that's perfectly legitimate, but you realize sometimes we think salvation begins after we die. I believe that what God's word tells us is from the moment that we repent and believe, we are saved. And God's going to use us as followers of Jesus to make and mature disciples, to take his ministry and his message that he's given us and tell others about it. See, there's nothing better than being in the presence of an almighty God. See, his presence, being in his presence, that's what he's talking about in John chapter 15, I think, where he's talking about, I am the vine, you are the branches. See, remaining in him, that is the true presence of God, and that's where we can find hope. You know, the paradox is interesting. God sent Jesus as king, but he certainly was not what the people expected. And in our lives, sometimes that's how he's going to work. He's going to work in ways that are not expected. So as we close and as the worship team makes their way to the stage, I want to ask you just a couple of questions. And don't worry, I won't call on you. Where do you need to trust God? Where is an area of your life where you might need to surrender just a little bit more? Or maybe this, how might God be surprising you in your life right now? And here's another question. What if God's plan is better than what your expectations are? You know, as we consider this and we seek God more fully, I encourage you to release your expectations, trust in God, and seek his will for your life. As we get to our feet and we sing this final song, Who You Say I Am, this is truth that we can hold on to.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.